Let's see. The planet is hot. Droughts, fires, floods. But our economy is cold. Recession, job losses. What if we could make our planet cooler and the economy hotter? We can, if we end our dependence on foreign oil and switch to clean energy. The carbon pollution from oil and coal that's melting the ice caps and warming the planet? Cap it and spur new investment and jobs in clean energy like wind and solar. Investing in clean energy could provide more than 37 million jobs for American workers in the next 20 years. That's right, 37 million jobs. Closing the carbon pollution loophole makes polluters pay and helps clean companies prosper so they can hire more workers. As a result, the planet cools, the economy heats up. Pretty cool. I mean, hot.
Paid for by the Alliance for Climate Protection.
Wes Maron is joining us now. He talks about how we perceive water impacts how we deal with water. And, of course, we are dependent on water for life. We can find other sources of energy, but I don't think we're going to find anything else to drink, to bathe in, to really keep our not only our personal systems, our bodies functioning, but the entire globe. So let's bring Wes in and find out what got you. By the way, you're a water scientist, I believe. Any more specific role I should attribute to you, Wes? Besides author?
Probably. That's good enough. Water scientist, environmental scientist, and hopefully educator as well.
And you dealt, you talk in your book about remedial actions needed for, problems that humans cause on impacts on water bodies. And that really led you to start thinking in a much deeper way about how we perceive water. And tell us a little bit about what's missing in our perceptions and the cost of that missing link.
Well, I think a follow-up to what Peter is talking about is great, is that for so long we've viewed water as simply a commodity, something that comes out of the tap, and in fact something that we have very little control over in our environment. Most people don't even know where the watershed is located that provides their water, and it's come from a small group of people or purveyors, and that's about it. And I think what that does is narrow our perception of water way down so that when we're asked to make changes, we're asked to make changes on the basis of threats. If you don't do this, then this will happen. If you don't conserve water, then this will happen. If you pollute water, then this will happen. My view is, let's take another look at water and how vital it is to everything from passing information between our DNA and RNA to birthing the sun to all kinds of other things that we oftentimes don't realize water kind of roles that it provides. And I think just the sense of awe and the sense of experience in sort of viewing that water in that way will impart a reverence that might make it easier for us to, as a collective, to change our habits around water.
And, of course, our view of water is just, typical of how we view, our role, humans, in nature. Are we starting to get that we are an integral part of nature and that we rely on Mother Nature for life sustenance? And how is that new awareness sort of intersecting with this, busy, harried ADD world where nobody has much time to do anything and multitasking everything?
Well, I think with respect to water, what we've seen is a century of basically engineers and sort of brute force ways of dealing with nature. And that is, if water is one place and we want it another place and we dig a canal and pump it, even if we have to pump it over mountains and so forth and so on, I think what we're coming to now is perhaps a place where we look at nature and say, instead of trying to overpower nature, let's try to emulate nature. How does nature do things, and how can we adjust our technologies and some of the things that we do to be more in line with something that nature might do with water than what we've done with water over the last 100 years? And I think there's plentiful examples of this. Designing impellers and mixers that look like a vortex in water, some of the work that's being done with stormwater runoff basins and things like that that are based on natural flow regimes rather than based on running parallel to streets and things like that. And I think the more that we start to implement engineering designs that emulate nature, the less secondary and tertiary problems we're going to have with our water infrastructure, if you will.
One of the things I love about your book and just your work is it's rare to see a scientist combined with a sort of a spiritual guy. You do have that component as part of your work, that we're really not going to save and protect something that we're told to. It's really going to come from within, almost an intuitive sense of not only our reliance on water. I mean, it's so basic, it sounds silly to even say it, but our love for its beauty and its magic.
Yeah, I think so. I think that oftentimes, like you said, in our ADD world where we're running around in primarily urban environments, we rarely get a chance to see, enjoy, and actually experience water in some sort of a more natural setting. And I think that that detracts from our ability to sort of connect with water. The other thing that I've discovered is that looking at ancient and even modern-day indigenous cultures, they have an inherent reverence for water that comes not just from its mundane uses, but also a realization that water is so fundamental to life and so fundamental to the universe and plays so many important roles that we don't even recognize, that that for so long water has been really one of the major substances in all spiritual traditions to be revered, and it's I think it's more than symbolic.
Like so many things, like green building, we have to go back to our more simple past to get some lessons. And you talk about the changing paradigm that's needed. Are you optimistic? I mean, because of the way the world is going, that we're going to sort of get it and tune in to our water environment soon enough, and what would you advocate people do besides read your great book?
Well, let's say the first part of the question is, do I think we're moving that direction? And I think we are. I think with the green movement and with many scientists sort of standing up now and saying, wait a minute, you know, like Peter Gleick said, you know, we're not going to solve water problems by building more giant dams. We've got to go to a more community-based, local way of dealing with water. I think can't help but put people in a position where they're into a more hands-on relationship with water, and I think that's very, very important. And I am optimistic. I really am. In spite of some of the problems that we have looming now, I think that may be just the impetus to do so. The other thing that I might mention is that water's role in climate change is oftentimes played down, and it turns out that water is very much a player in both how much carbon dioxide is in the atmosphere, and certainly any consequences of global change are going to come through the mediator of water.
What about the acidification of the ocean, she asked. With just a couple minutes left, that's a giant issue.
Well, the acidification of the ocean is another consequence of the CO2 in the atmosphere. Right now, oceanographers really don't know what the long-term effects are going to be. Certainly, to date, there's been impacts on coral reefs and some of the more sensitive marine ecosystems. But a major chemical change in the ocean like that, particularly the surface waters, nobody has really any idea how that might end up.
Have you heard that they're already beginning to see some of the effects on, shell-based fish, mollusks and such, getting softer shells because of that higher acidity, or is that mostly an expected prediction?
No, that was expected because the carbon dioxide sort of moves what's known as the carbonate buffering system, and most of these animals use calcium carbonate to build their shells. So that's probably expected. The degree to which that plays out, nobody knows.
I wish we had more time, Wes Mayer. I'm going to have you back on the Green Front again. Thank you so much. I highly recommend your book, Altered Perceptions. Can they get it on Amazon?
They can get it on Amazon.
Okay, Altered Perceptions, Addressing the Real Water Crisis. We'll be back right after these messages. You're listening to Green Front Radio.